This is a Collider.com audio interview.
So I got to ask, I mean, you seem to be really, really excited about kind of... I mean, you've always been an integral part of the Resident Evil franchise, having written all the episodes, but now you're directing, you know, back-to-back episodes, as opposed to handing them off to another director. So what's keeping you excited?
That hasn't changed. I mean, I've always been really excited about it, and it was always a painful decision not to direct the two episodes that I didn't direct. You know, if I'd been given my druthers, I would have done Apocalypse and Extinction.
Yeah.
And you know, it at the time it was kind of conflicts with other studios and other movies and other commitments, and it's not like this is a... You know, a movie is not an art form where you get to kind of sit in your artist's garret and kind of paint, or, you know, you don't do that. You're spending, you know, a lot of somebody else's money. So, you know, given my druthers, I would have directed every single one of them. So I'm just happy to be able to have been able to do the last one and this one.
Yeah. Can you talk about how you work on your approach to 3D has changed after doing both Three Musketeers and the last one in 3D?
I think we've just become more adventurous with each movie. I mean, taking the cameras out on location a lot more. I mean, obviously not here, because we're not going to go out into the pack ice. And for sake of it, it's got nothing to do with 3D.
Yeah.
Trying to become more adventurous with it, I think. You know, more location work, more camera movement, more aggressive camera movement. I mean, I think the camera work on this is pretty aggressive for 3D. Because I think people's tolerance for what they can watch in 3D is becoming obviously stronger. So we've probably got more kind of muscular camera moves in this one.
We heard that this one, the ending of the fourth one was like a climactic ending. We heard this one sort of starts with a, if you will, like a flashback. What was your motivation for sort of not jumping right into the action?
The this one starts with basically the payoff from the last one. So it's kind of, we start on the deck of the Arcadia.
Oh, okay.
And so it's kind of like a direct continuation of that.
And the flashbacks are a little bit further.
I can't possibly tell you about flashbacks.
Well, can you talk about the decision of bringing in Barry, Ada, and Leon? I mean, you kind of...
That was kind of fan-driven. I mean, it was like, you know, everyone was... You know, all the fans were pretty, you know, vocal about, you know, these were the characters they really wanted to see. And, you know, we really tried to cast actors who kind of brought those characters to life as close to the video game as possible. You have no idea how difficult it is to find someone with Leon Kennedy's hair. You know, it's just not the easiest thing in the world. It's like, he's got to be manly, he's got to have these long bangs. Jeez, you made it more difficult for us.
Yeah.
I'm very happy with the actors we have.
How do you get the fan reaction? How do you know that for the characters?
Basically from being on the internet and going to, you know, I do a lot of press and I go to a lot of, you know, I'm very, I have a very close and open dialogue with Capcom, who, you know, have their own Resident Evil forums as well. So it's kind of through a lot of communication.
Are you finding it more difficult to draw some inspiration from the games besides the characters? Because you're bringing in Las Plagas zombies this time, but
not really. I mean, they've. I mean, there's such a wealth of kind of stuff in the games. So for the Las Plagas, we're going back to Resident Evil 4. There are elements of Resident Evil 5 in this, like that we have a big car chase, which I'm very excited about, because they're in Res 5. There was this awesome kind of Hummer motorbike, heavy machine gun battle with rocket launchers, and I'm like, this is so great. So we've taken inspiration from that. You know, I think there's so much cool stuff in the games, and I think it would be a long time before you actually ran out of hard armor.
We heard from some of the cast that when you were writing this one, you were sort of thinking of a fifth and sixth film, and there was almost the talk of you guys filming it back to back. Or was that ever...
We definitely, I mean, that there was an early discussion about that, but then we just decided to focus on this movie.
So how much...
But I do, you know, if it is that we made another one, I do know where it would go. And, you know, obviously it would be great to kind of make, you know, two full trilogies and then just bring everything to an end.
Well, that's the thing. Your significant other was mentioning that you can only play the character for so long. Is there, like, in your mind, the sixth one as, like, a finale?
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Unless, of course, no one goes to see this one. This one would be the finale. Maybe not a very satisfying one.
Could you see yourself continuing beyond with your involvement and with Mila's involvement, maybe producing?
I've always said, you know, we really take the movies one movie at a time because, you know, we put so much effort into them. And, you know, while I have an idea of where I would like the franchise to go, I mean, it really is kind of like a movie-by-movie thing for us. I think quite often filmmakers kind of think so much about, you know, what the franchise will be and sometimes kind of neglect to kind of like put their efforts into the movie they're actually making. So for us, it's kind of like, you know, it's 150% of effort into this one entity right now.
How do you feel that the style of action is different? Just your directorial approach, some of the choices you're making to make this one stand out apart from the rest?
Like I said, the camera work for 3D is very aggressive, and the action is just different for a Resident Evil movie anyway. I mean, it's not different for the games, because like I said, we've taken a lot of inspiration from action sequences in the games. You know, but to do, you know, car chases in 3D, cars, motorbikes, kind of lots of... Because the Las Plagas undead can obviously use weaponry. You know, that's a whole new aspect that hasn't been in the movie franchise before. So, you know, that's been pretty exciting.
I don't know if you're working with the same DP on this film as you have on the previous films, but are you?
Yes, yeah, it's okay. Glenn McPherson who did Afterlife and did Three Musketeers.
I just want to ask about the visual tone of the movie, not the action or the violence, but just the overall look, the color scheme. Is there a certain palette that you're going for?
Well, it's kind of like it's an epic undead movie. I mean, it really is a globe-trotting thing, and it goes. We physically shot in Washington DC, in Red Square, in Shibuya, in Tokyo. We're obviously recreating snow and ice sequences, but we've actually gone out on the snow and ice as well. So, I mean, it's really got a kind of like kind of globe-trotting feel to it. And each one of these different places, we've tried to kind of invest with a different feel. So, you know, I'm excited about the snow and ice, obviously, because I mean, as you can probably see with Ada lying, you know, with the red dress against the crisp white snow and the black umbrella submarine, it's very, very kind of graphic, novel-y. So that's very stark. But then the Red Square sequence is completely different. It's all at night. It's very, very gritty. So the idea was to kind of make the movie like a kind of a nightmare where you tumble from one bad dream to another but can't quite wake up. So that each part of the dream feels very different but also very unpleasant. It's very striking. I mean, we've really tried to kind of like... I mean, maybe we've packed like the... It's almost like the visual look of three or four different films packed into one movie, deliberately so, because, you know, each scenario you go from is radically different to the next, both in the way we shot it and also in the way we lit it. So it's been driving Glenn, our DP, crazy, because it's like normally you get a DP and you set one look for a movie, and here he's like, you know, every 2 weeks it's completely different.
With all the different looks and all the globe-trotting and also the non-linear narrative... is there kind of a unifying theme that you're sort of leaning on specifically to sort of bring that all together? Or?
It's hard for me to explain exactly what that is without giving away the kind of plot twists in the movie, but yes. And, you know, I think it really has got some really cool twists in it, kind of inspired by the video game, but I think it should be a very surprising narrative. I mean, I'm excited to kind of put the whole thing together. And, you know, super excited to be working with returning actors from the franchise as well. I mean, that's been one of the really fun things.
Yeah.
It's like to bring Michelle back and bring Colin back and bring Oded back. I mean, not just to work with them as people, because they're all really, they're nice people. But also to kind of have those familiar faces in the franchise, I think, is really exciting.
Oh, Mike, we had asked Jeremy earlier, and he said that Tom and Dandy is coming back to do the score.
That's
for
right,
you.
Yeah.
What do you have in mind, sound-wise, for the score? Do you have something similar to Afterlife?
Kind of a progression on it.
Yeah.
I want to kind of mesh their kind of more electronic stuff with an orchestra this time.
Mm, okay.
So it has a kind of more epic, it's still got that kind of cool Tom and Andy feel, but you know, it's got a more kind of epic kind of scope to it.
Yeah, now since like probably Event Horizon, you did with the score on that one, had, you know, something been so aggressive, I found, you know, I mean, the score is just, you know, pounding. I really liked it.
Well, I mean, hopefully what we can do is, you know, whereas there I, you know, we combined Michael Kamen, who was very kind of orchestral,
yeah,
and Orbital, who weren't.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was, I think with Tom and Andy, I mean, I think we can get the same kind of feel, but
yeah,
with them, because they're, you know, they're very experienced composers now.
Yeah.
But obviously, you know, what they love is the kind of electronic,
yeah,
feel. I mean, the track they composed for the opening of the last movie, that stuff over Mika Nakashima in Shibuya, I just, it's like one of my favorite bits of movie music in any of my movies.
Yeah,
talking, I'm curious if you, how far out, how have you figured out where the Umbrella Corporation, where it ultimately everything is, or are you sort of like each movie you're like, we don't have to worry about it yet?
You know, they're just this web of evil,
totally,
ever growing. With their fantastic graphic design and but lack of attention to detail. It's like they build these incredible facilities and these death-dealing machines, but never kind of manage to use them in the correct way. To always build too many vents and access shafts and things. So.
True. But you know what I'm saying, though? Like, because you mentioned that the sixth film you could see as the series finale. I guess what I'm saying is, have you always thought, well, the actual final headquarters is in Barcelona, or you know what I mean?
No, I have a very definite idea of where their final lair would be, yes. But I can't tell you.
I understand.
But it'll look beautiful. Yet easy to get into somehow.
Are we going to see what happens with Chris and Claire in this one?
I mean,
obviously, you know, Wentworth and Allie are not back, but... or are they?
No, Wentworth and Ali are not back, but their characters are still in the franchise.
Okay, cool.
When did you first come up with the idea of having like these good and bad versions of people, like Bad Rain, you know what I mean? When did that first come about?
I don't... It was really thinking about, and we've talked about it for years, about bringing Michelle back, because I just loved working with her so much, and she was such a cool part of the first movie, and the more I thought about Michelle, the more I thought about, you know, she really has, as an actor, has been unable to explore kind of other aspects of her career, because she's always cast as the same character, and I'm guilty of that, of course. But that was very, at the start of her career, I cast her as like the bad girl with the machine gun. But since then, it's been like 10 years of her playing a bad girl with a machine gun a lot of the time. And I wanted to kind of give her an opportunity to play something different. And she was very excited about that. So that's where the kind of good, the idea of characters that are both good and bad came from. So that, you know, it was to give her an opportunity to kind of spread her wings a little bit. Because I do think she's an underrated actress, and you know, it, you know, much though, I mean, no one rocks a heavy machine gun like Michelle Rodriguez, and we've got bits of footage. It's just incredible. She's firing this huge, big ass machine gun, and like bullets coming out slow motion. She never blinks, never hesitates. Only time she gets flustered if she doesn't reload the magazine correctly or fast enough. I mean, she's like a real pro. I mean, she's ready to go to war, and she does it really, really well. But some of the most fun things in this movie has been watching her try and walk around in a pair of high-heeled shoes. Because that is like the real challenge for her. And that's been the kind of fun stuff.
I saw her take a shot of something in the neck that, you know, she was explaining sort of made her stronger or more like impervious to bullets or something. Is that the case, or I'm not sure?
It's the, she injects herself with the Las Plagas parasite. So it's kind of taken from, there's a moment in the game where one of the characters injects themselves, and we built exactly the same injection device. We're framing the shots in exactly the same way. So there'll be a kind of unpleasant little parasitic creature in that kind of vial that you'll see kind of squirted into her veins.
There's a,
so, I mean, it's a theme in all of the games, is that, you know, characters kind of inject themselves and then kind of, you know, they develop their superpowers, but they pay the price for it.
Mm-hmm.
Can you repeat the name of the virus?
Les Plagues.
There's a perfect...
It's a parasite as well. It's not really a virus.
There's a perfect circle song that is reoccurring through this franchise. It was used in Apocalypse and used it in the last one. Does that song mean anything to you personally, or is it just something that you really...
I like it a lot.
Okay. Just curious. Can you use it for this one?
We may do.
It seems to be like the main Resident Evil theme, though.
Yeah, it was in the second one, and it was in the fourth one, and I think it's a really cool track. And it's also a very cool version of the song as well, because the original version of the song is very, very different to that.
Right.
We'll talk a little bit about some of the, like, we heard in the next 8 days or 9 days, you're going to be doing a lot of action stuff. Can you sort of talk about what's coming up with the filming?
It's all fighting on the pack ice set. So it's kind of like we've got the dialogue out of the way. I mean, there wasn't a huge amount of it, but it's all done now. So from now on, it's all kind of fight stuff.
How do you work with a fight choreographer to figure out to kind of bring your vision up to life?
I'm working with Nick Powell again, who I work with on Three Musketeers, and I really like Nick because he's like, as a fight choreographer and also as a second unit director, he's like the full package, because he directs the second unit, but also he helps choreograph the fights. He did The Bourne Identity, which I thought, you know, at the time really revolutionized, you know, his use of Krav Maga and stuff really revolutionized kind of the look of action movies. So he's kind of done that, but at the other end of the spectrum, he also did all the sword work on Gladiator. So, and also he's a phenomenal, he's phenomenal at car chases as well, which is another, he did all the car chase in the first Bourne movie and directed all of that. So he was kind of like a good all-round talent to bring in. And basically he and I sit down together. I show him the inspiration from the video games. We discuss, you know, where we can kind of take that inspiration and kind of make it, you know, build upon it. We watch a lot of movies together. And
what kind of movies did you watch
about? Well, we watched a lot of Thai movies this time around because, you know, because of the movies he's done, he did The Last Samurai as well. He's worked with a lot of kind of... he's worked with a lot of Japanese stuntmen, he's worked with a lot of Hong Kong stuntmen. But we felt like the area that hadn't been mined by Western cinema much was that whole kind of high-impact Thai style of fighting. So we just watched a lot of action sequences from a lot of Thai movies. And, you know, there were moves and just a kind of general feel that I thought we could infuse the movie with. You know, you did like that kind of bone crunching where you really feel the impact. And we tried to kind of bring that into the movie, which is also good for 3D, because obviously 3D makes it harder to sell those kind of fake phony punches, because you see the distance between the fist and the face. Mm-hmm. So that kind of Thai style of fighting where you actually make contact is a lot stronger.
We see the sub coming out through the ice in where we were just watching. How much time do you guys spend in the sub in the movie?
You see the subs a lot, but we don't, there's not really much inside the submarine. Just because I wanted to kind of get the character set. It's more kind of getting from point A to point B.
When you look back to, I guess it's been over maybe 12 years since you first got involved with the Resident Evil franchise, can you draw a line from that point back then to today, both in terms of the relationship with the franchise, working with Miller, your own career, this whole journey you've been on?
It's been a fabulous journey. I mean, I'm very excited about, you know, what we've managed to do with the franchise. You know, it was, you know, I always refer to the first Resident Evil movie as like the little movie that could, because at the time, you know, it was kind of unfashionable to do video game movies. There'd been several that hadn't worked. You know, Mortal Kombat, the one I'd made, was one of the few movies that had actually done well. But then the sequel to that didn't do well at all. So, you know, it was like, and also, it was an R-rated movie at a time when American studios didn't really want R-rated movies. It was right after Columbine, and, you know, all the studios had kind of like, you know, had said, you know, we're not going to do R-rated movies anymore, we're not going to, you know, they were really backing off from it. So, you know, when we put the movie together, it was pretty much, the first movie was financed all outside of North America. there wasn't a studio deal attached to it. Sony only became involved in it kind of during principal photography. You know, the first, I remember the deal we had on it was that if the movie didn't do incredibly well at its first American test, and these are incredibly stressful things for a filmmaker anyway when you go and first put your movie in front of the public, but if we didn't score like a certain amount, they could have put the movie straight to DVD. So it was kind of like, you know, it really felt like the movie nobody wanted. And I vividly remember reading a review of it. I think it was the Hollywood Reporter or Variety, I can't remember which, but it was one of the two trade papers that said, you know, this movie basically has no audience. It was made for nobody and no one wants to go see it. We don't, you know, it's got no audience. And then, you know, the movie did have an audience and it scored huge, you know, really played to an audience. The movie did really well and the franchise, you know, built from that point. Because we all kind of stayed, we stuck behind it, I think. You know, Mila stayed in the franchise, I stayed attached to it. Because I'd been involved in franchises where, you know, I hadn't stayed attached and I felt like the franchise kind of went off in the wrong direction. And so I'm really proud that, you know, this tiny little movie that was made in Berlin and, you know, made all with foreign money, made by a European crew starring a woman from Russia, kind of like had built into a big success. And the fact that each movie has successively done better as well, of course, I'm very, you know, I'm very proud of.
Guys, I'm going to wrap it up here now, so I'll just have
a couple more minutes. It's all right.
I know that during Afterlife you were planning Musketeers, and it happened pretty quickly after. With this movie, you're toying with another sequel to it, but do you have other projects? Is in diversifying between films important for you? Do you have other stuff on the
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely planning other things, though whether I'm going to race into something else, I'm not sure. I mean, it's publicizing... It's very funny. I feel like I was in London like 3 weeks ago publicizing Three Musketeers. And then I went to Japan to go publicize. And then we started shooting this. So, you know, I want to kind of finish this movie and finish it really well before I kind of embark upon anything else.
How is the Death Race series? Because you guys still have, you and Jeremy still have
Death Race 3 just finished shooting. They just wrapped in Cape Town.
Nice. And are you...
Robin Shue's in it again. He keeps sending me videos from the set.
Yeah.
Usually of him beating on somebody. I'm having a great time. He's like ramming somebody's head into the ground, or like he's covered in blood. I mean, that's a fun franchise.
Tony wrote the last one of the new one. Are you kind of playing Godfather to it, kind of creatively steering him a little bit?
Or? Yeah, I mean, I write the story outlines for each of the movies. And then Jeremy and I produce it. We're not in Cape Town right now, so we're not doing the nuts and bolts, you know, producing, like sitting on the set.
Right.
But, I mean, creatively, we do put the whole thing together. Nice. And then we're very involved in post-production. Because I think that's one of my strengths is kind of, you know, pulling everything together and editing in post.
Nice. Very cool.
All right, then. Oh, I better go. Well, I'm going to go eat some lunch.
We are
Thank
too.
Thank you.